Today's daf is daf Tzadi Gimel. So we got to two lines down. This is the last of the conversation between Rava and Rabbi Bar Meri. Mara says, Amr le Rava le Rabbi Bar Meri, Minoha Milsa, how do we know these things? The Amr Inch, the people would say, Baser Mari Nichse, Tzive Mashach. After person Bar Meri Nichse, person is a Bar Nechasim, who is very wealthy, Tzive Mashach, that more oil, literally, more oil is going to come. I mean, a person that sticks together with a person who's very, very wealthy and successful, he'll make the people, the neighbors, wealthy as well. So Amalei says, "Dichsiv v'gam lalot halichas Avram hayaton v'akar v'alim." The fact that Lot went with Avram, and Avram was, of course, very successful with many nechasim, Lot also was able to tag along, and he also had many tzon v'akar v'alim. Then the Gemara says, "Amar of Chanan Hamoser din al chavero, person who is moser." Who points out that his friend, the chaver, is owed some type of onesh, punanesh tchil, that moser is punished first. Rashi says here, there's no Rashi here, the person who's moser's friend makes a taino on the chaver, so that person gets for the moser gets punished first. Shenemar, as it says, but Tomer Sarai el Avram, chamasi alecha, and Sarah says about Avram, you had caused me such pain, and even though Sarah had, and you know, had welcomed Hagar into her home and had suggested they have a child together, she still got very upset and she attacked him. Uksivan, as a result, it says Vayavo Avram lispod l'saru l'vkosa. So as a result, Avram was mourning and eulogizing and crying over Sarah. It means Sarah Imenu died first. What was the reason why she died first? According to this Gemara here, because she was making a tainer, she's being Toveya, she's Moser Din al Chaver on Avram Avinu. Many other reasons are given why she died at the point also, but according to this Gemara, this is the reason why, because she was Moser Din. V'harni mile d'isle dina be'ara. This is only true when it comes to halacha that's related to literally the land. What's the significance of this? So I guess it can't be just any stam, it can't be just stama taina, has to be some taina regarding the land. I'm not sure how that relates to Sarah. Let's see. The Shah is only if it's telling that she could have been a Taina and went to Bezdin. If she circumvented Bezdin, went straight to Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's when you apply this halacha. But if it's something that's not something that you could bring to Bezdin, so then you can be Moser to Kadosh Baruch Hu. You could say, Kadosh Baruch Hu, please help me out. I can't do anything about this. Please take care of things. Then the Gemara says, Amar of Yitzhak, Oy lo l'tsoik yosef min anitzak. The one who screams, the one who's upset, they're going to have it worse than the one who is being screamed at. So what does this mean? So Tani Nami Hach, the Brisa also says, Echad atzoik v'echad anitzak b'mashma. So this is a referencing a pasuk that is described when it comes to the almana. The pasuk says, Im ana sa'ana osof, if you cause pain to an almana, kim tzaok yitzak elai, she's going to scream at me, shemoa eshma tzakas, I'm going to listen to her screaming. So what's the double lashon of tzaok yitzak? So it sounds like both parties, both the tzarek, the screamer, and the nitzak, the one who's being screamed about, the one who's afflicting the amana, are implied here. Ela shemimaharin letzarek yoser min anitzak. But the one who screams, the case of Rashi's Sarah, who is being Moser, who is complaining about Avram, they get punished first. Okay. Amar Rav Yitzhak liolam alti klalas hedyot kalabei necha. A statement that we find elsewhere in Shas, that a klala, a curse, even from a regular person, should not be taken lightly. Sharei Avimelech kolal asara v'niskayim bizara. Avimelech had cursed Sarah, and it was fulfilled in her children. Shenemar, as it says, what did Avimelech say to her? Hinei hulach kisus einayim, here is for you a covering for your eyes. Amar lah, he says to her, ho'el v'kasis mimeni, since you covered from me, v'lo gilis, and you didn't reveal to me, shu ishech, that he's your husband. V'garam ta'alai hatzaras, and you caused me such pain to me and my entire kingdom. He ratzal, let it be, shehu l'cha alach b'nei k'suyei einayim. You should have a child who his eyes are covered. What does that mean? Nishkayim bizarre, as we know, this was fulfilled in her son Yitzchak. Dichsevahi ki'izokin yomim, ki'izokin Yitzchak, when Yitzchak got old, v'tekena einav meros, and his eyes got hard from seeing, he couldn't see anymore, became blind. And that klala, even though it came from Avimelech, just the hedyot, it was fulfilled. So don't take any curses lightly. Then the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Abahu Ali Olam Yehe Adam Min HaNirdafim V'lo Min HaRodfim. A person should always be those who are being chased as opposed to the chaser. Why? Shein lecha nirdaf beofos yosim mitorim v'nei yonah. There's no other animal that's seeked out more, that's sought out more than that of the dove and the torim v'nei yonah. These are the types of birds. V'yachsheirin hakasav legavim mizbech. And these are the only two birds that are permitted to be brought on the mizbech. So although they're nirdafim, dafka for that reason, since they're nirdafim, they're permitted on the mizbech. But all the other birds, all the other predators, and even many of the prey, are not permitted to be on mizbech. So be nirdafim, don't be the rodfin. Ha'omer sames einai. So the Mishnah told us, if a person says, you could take my eye out, you could take out my leg, my hand, and the guy does it, he's still chayef. But if he said, rip my shirt or break my kalim, then that's permitted. And then he would be putter if he does that. So Amar li'Rav Asi bar Chama, li'Rava, ma'ishna reisha, ma'ishna seifa, why? If I told him to do something to me, is he chayef to pay if he damages my body, but if I tell him to rip my clothing, he's not chayef. What's the difference? So the Gemara explains, Amar li'Reisha, a person is not really mochel on his own body. He's not mochel to have his hand or leg or eye removed. So that's why. But a person is mochel on his begotim. So Amar Lei, v'chi adam mochel al tzara. Is a person mochel on his tzara, though, on pain? No one does that. No one's willing to take money to get pain. Dasani, the Braisa tells us, hikani bitani al manas liftor pater. Hit me, give me a wound, and condition you'll be pater. The halach is your pater. So we still see that you can be pater even on telling a person isn't normally mochel on, if I make that stipulation. So it's not simply about mechila or not mechila. Yesterday we said you can't do for the tsar. We didn't say anything about tsar, did we? I thought we started about cutting off a leg or a limb.
Wasn't tsar part of the whole, no?
I thought the calculation was just removing a reshe of arm, but not necessarily about getting any pain. I think, let's see, does Rashi point anything out here? Yeah, I don't think we addressed this yesterday.
So just the value of the Eber.
Yeah, I think so. So the Gemara then says, Ishtik, so he's quiet, he didn't have a response. Amar midi shmila chabaha? Did you hear anything? So he started asking her, did anybody hear anything, what the pshat would be? Amar lei hachi amar Rav Sheshes, they quoted from Rav Sheshes, mishim pega mishpacha. Yeah, because of pega mishpacha. I mean, he has nothing to do with mechila anymore at this point. A person can make a condition, even though that's not considered mechila. If you hit me and give me pain, you're potter. If you cut off my leg, you'll be potter. The halacha is you're still going to be chayv. Why are you chayv? Because of pekah mishpacha. The way that's going to be, the fact that someone in the family is missing an aver is going to affect the reputation of the family. And for that reason, I have no right to be mochel on the pekah mishpacha. On myself, I do. I can give you right to give me pain. It doesn't affect my mishpacha. But when you have the hand cut off or the leg or something else, that's a pekah mishpacha, and for that reason you're chayv to pay. Itmar, Rav Oshaya, Amar, Mishum, pekah mishpacha, he also said the same thing about, because it affects the entire mishpacha. Rav Amar, no, Rav said no, Mishum Shein Adam Mochel Rosh Evarim Shalom. Echanami says a person is not mochel on his own Rosh Evarim. He doesn't address the question of the pain. A person is mochel on the pain, but he just says, he explains because of the initial reason, because a person is not mochel on Rosh Evarim, but he's mochel on his mamun. Rabbi Yochan Amar Yesh Hein Shehu Kelav Yesh Lav Shehu Kehein. Sometimes when you say yes, it really means no, and sometimes when you say no, it really means yes. What does this mean? Look at Rashi halfway down the Amud. He says Yesh Lav Shehu Kehein I Itama Pater. So V'Hai Dinaket Chiyuva Legavi Maka Upotzea Uptura Legavi Mamona Orach the Milsa Nakat the Mach Inish Amamone Tve Megufa. So how are we reading this? Sometimes he says a person is, meaning, sometimes not across the board, sometimes people are mochel on their mamon, sometimes they're mochel on their body. But the Gemara is simply saying here that sometimes we're taking the norm. The norm is that more people are more likely to be mochel on their own money than they are on their own body. But there are going to be circumstances where a person is willing to be mochel on his own body and allow himself to accept some pain. I'm not sure how Rashi aligns with the Gemara, though. Gemara seems to be saying something else. The Gemara says, if I say no, sometimes it really means yes. And when I say yes, sometimes it really means no. Let's read this. Hold on a second. Uh-huh. Okay, that's the point. Right, so Rashi is saying, based on the Gemara, is sometimes people are willing to be mochel even on the Rosh Hashanah. They're willing to be mochel in pain, and willing to be mochel on the body. Now the case is, he said, so he had a response. He said, do it, you could do it. And we have to interpret that case. What does it mean, you could do it? Does he really mean it, or is he saying you could do it? Are you really going to do that in a question form?
Or so he says Rashi is just talking about sarcasm.
Yeah, exactly. So you say, well, I say, yeah, you could do it. Yeah, sure. So, but sometimes it really can work, though. Sometimes a person's, if he's very clear that he allows a person to cut off his leg and give him pain, then it can work. We're just speaking about the norm. Tani Nami Hachi, the Brisa says the same thing. He kani bitani amnas liftor. He says, you can hit me, you can get cut me on condition that you're going to be potter. And he asks the guy, can I do that? And I'm like, hey, yeah, I'll do it. You could do it to me. Hare yesh hein shukalav. He didn't say yes. He said, yeah, sure, you could do it. That's what he was saying. Kara es kesusi almanas liftor. He says, can I cut my tear my beged? I'm like, lav. He says, no. Hare lav shukain. That's a no. That's no. You don't want to do it? Of course you could do it. That's a no. That really means yes. He allows you to cut the beged. Okay. So each context depends on how he really responds to this. Gemara now says, Shavars kadi karas kasusi chayv, break my kad, rip my clothing. So he said, you're chayv. So the Gemara says, Ur minhi lishmor v'lo la'abed, lishmor v'lo l'kara, lishmor v'lo l'chalik aniyim. So the Brayis makes a drush in the Pasuk. Look at Rashi, lishmor v'lo la'abed. Ki itain v'gomer, the Pasuk says, when you give a isha re'eu, the Pasuk says, you give your friend a chamor, a shor, a seh, to watch over. Lishmor. So the Gemara makes a drush, as Rashi explained, Lishmor dehefkedo eslo, Lishmor chayv b'pshia. You give the item to a friend to watch over. He's chayv if he's negligent, if he does any pshia. Below kishifkedo eslo amnas la'abed. You give it to the guy to destroy. Here's it for you to rip up. Oh, amnas l'chalik l'anim. Here's for you to go give the money out to the poor. Below kriyin be'lat lishmor. That's not called shemira. That's giving it to you to do a task. I gave it to you money to divvy out. Sulo demafkid ninu. It's not the mafkid. He's not responsible. Uman katava. Who's going to claim it? Right, it's not mine anymore. If I give you money to give it out, I give you tzedakah. Now it's in the gabbai tzedakah's possession now to give to the anim, and the gabbai tzedakah loses the money. Who's tovea? I can't be tovea. I already gave the money up to him to take care of it. And the anim can't be tovei either, as Rashi explains. Anim also lo mati tavi, they can't claim. This ani can't say his money is coming to me, because that guy said no, he was coming to me. And no one has a tain on who the money was going to go to. So if you give the money over to give an object to be destroyed, or an object to be given divvied out, you're not chayev. So if I give you, David, here's my clothing, rip it up, and you rip it up, you're not chayev. That's not lishmor, that's I gave it to you la'abed. So you shouldn't be chayev to pay. So Gemara says, Amar Rav Huna lo kasha had asli liyadeh, had lo asli liyadeh. Depends. If I gave it to you first, and then I tell you to rip it, then you're chayev, because you're shomer. Watch over the beged. Then I say, rip it for me, you're a shomer, then you're chayev, that's pshia. If I don't give it to you, I say, here's this to rip from the outset, so then you wouldn't be chayev. That's the difference. So Amar Le Rabba, Lishmor da Asa Liyadeh Mashma, what do you mean? The word Lishmor implies that it came to the hand. And still, if I gave it to you to watch, it's only Chayiv if I gave it to you to watch. If I gave it to you to rip, then you're going to be Potter. That can't be the distinction, whether it gets to your hand or doesn't get to your hand. Ela Amar Rabba, Rabba explains the difference is, Hav Ha Da Asa Liyadeh. Both circumstances is where the clothing got to your hand. Lo Kash, it's not a stira. Why did I give it to you? If I gave it to you to watch, and then I say rip it, so then you're chayv. If I gave it to you to rip in the first place, then you're allowed to rip it, and you wouldn't be chayv. Okay, very simple distinction. Last part of the parak here, the Gemara says, Ahu arnaka de tzedakah d'asli pumpadisa. A certain wallet of tzedakah, a certain pouch of money made its way over to pumpadisa. Afkadei Rav Yosef gave hahu gavra. So if Yosef gave it over to a certain individual to watch over this wallet of money. Pasha ba the gavet tzedaka, the shomer, this pasha in some way, and asa ganve ganvua, and the ganavim stole them. So chayve Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef made the gavet tzedaka to pay the money. He was pasha. He was a shomer of the money. So Amalei Abai says to Rav Yosef, how can you make him pay? V'hatani does in the Brayis to say lishmor v'lo l'chalik aniim. A shomer is only chayve if he's there to be shomer the money for someone else. If you're given the money to be mechalik and you lose the money, then you're not chayiv to pay. Amalei aniya de pumpadisa miketz kaitzlo v'lishmorhu. No, aniya de pumpadisa is a different case. Look at Rashi, last Rashi in the Amud here in the Perek, Each one knew exactly how much he was going to get per week. It wasn't like they're fighting, money's coming to me, money's coming to me. No, they each got $20 per week. And since the people, each ani could claim that they're getting a certain amount, they can be toveya, though $20 was mine. And he could also claim another $20 was mine. So they're the ones being toveya, and that's why Rav Yosi was chayv in this case. But if it's a general tzedakah, where it doesn't have any designated aniim to go to, then in a hanami, the gabbai tzedakah would not be chayv for any pshir. Hajin alach hachova. Now let's begin the ninth parak, Hagozel Eitzim. Mishnah starts, Hagozel Eitzim Vasan Kalim. A person steals someone's wood, someone's lumber, and makes it into some type of utensil. Or he steals someone's tzemer, some wool, Vasan Begadim, makes them into clothing. Mishalem Kishas Hagzela. He needs to pay the value it was when he initially stole it, as it was lumber, as it was wool, not as it was refined. And the reason is, we look at Rashi and Top here, Hagozel Eitzim Mishalem Mishas Gzela, Demei Eitzim Vitzemer. He pays the value of the wood and the value of the wool. The Ein Chayev L'Hachzir Lo Kalim. He doesn't have to return the actual wood itself, the Kalim, the Kani B'Shinoi. As we learn, Shinoi Kone. He's Kone the object. By doing a Shinoi to it, by making it into Kalim, fashioning it into a clothing, he owns the object now. He just owes money back. And he pays based on the initial Shas Hagzela. Then the Mishnah says, Gazal Para Mubaris. He steals a pregnant cow. And then the Yalda, then it gives birth while in his possession. Rachel Tuna, he steals a very full sheep. And then Gaza, then he shears all the wool. Mishalem Demei Para Muhammadish Leilad. He has to pay the value of the cow that was pregnant. Or Demei Rachel Hamadish Le Gaza. Or a Rachel sheep that was full of wool. That's the value, which is Shasa Gazela. Let's say Gaza Para, he steals a cow. And then while in his possession of the Gazlan, Nisabra became pregnant. Etzla with next to him while in his possession, the Yalda then gave birth, or he stole a Rachel, and then while in his possession, Nitana Etzla became full of wool while in his possession, Megazah, then he cut off the wool, Mishalim Kishas Gzela. Here too, also you pay according to the initial amount, which was a small cow and a very bare sheep. Zeklal, the rule goes as follows, Kol HaGazlanim Mishalim Kishas HaGzela. Klal is that Gazan always pays according to Shas HaGzela, the initial moment of sealing. And we saw already in Meruba that sometimes you pay according to the current market value if you break it. Okay, part of a larger topic, there's a lot of discussion here, there's a Mechamas Hashem in the back here, a very, very difficult one that discusses this din. But right now, all we should focus in on is that you pay Kishas HaGzela, the amount the value was when you stole it. So Gemara says now, Amri Eitzim V'Asan Kalim in Sheep on Low. Going to need some help with some of the words here with the ones with arts go. But the only time the Mishnah says that you get to keep it is if you fashion the lumber into some type of kalim. But sheep on law, if you, I think, shaved it down, kind of made it neater, you don't have to. How do they define sheep on?
Cleaned
them. Clean. Plain, right, like a sander. Yeah. Right? You use a plane, I learned that word plain with makos also. That's how they find the other word. They used to shave with a plane. What was that Hebrew word they used there? I forget which one they were. Either way, you shaved it down with a shaver, with a plane, the sander. That you don't get to keep. You have to return that wood because you didn't do much of a shinoi. Semir v'asam begadim in, only if you change it into a beged. But live lan lo, if you just whitened it, you cleaned it off, then you wouldn't keep it. You would have to actually return the actual item. So the Gemara says, Uminhi asks from a brisa, gazel eitzim, you steal wood v'shipa, and then you sand it. Avanim v'sitan, you have rocks and you also smooth them out. Tzemer v'livnan, you have wool and you whiten it. Pishan, you have flax v'nikeu. Nikeu is you clean it. So then, mishalem kishas gzela, you pay according to shas gzela. So why? These cases, you did these small little changes, you get to keep the objects. When it comes, we said before, sanding, you don't get to keep. Here the Brisa says, if you sand it, you do get to keep the objects, you just pay back the money. So Amar Abai says, Tana didan katani, Shinoi dirabanan de hadra, the kol shekain shinoi deraisa. Our Mishnah is referring to a shinoi dirabanan, which really can be reverted back. You can always change it down. We'll see in a second why that is. But kol shekain shinoi deraisa. On a shinoi deraisa level, it's something that you do a shinoi sheino chozel briyasa that can never be reversed. That certainly I get to keep as a gazan. I return the money. But the Mishnah is mechadish. Even a shinoi dirabanan that can chozel briyasa, that can return back to normal, and you can reverse it. Even those types of shinois, I get to keep. That's the chiddush of our Mishnah. So the Mishnah says, the Gemara continues to say, Eitzim vasan kelim beitzim mishupin, referring to a wood that's already already fined and sanded, that you kind of just put together and you could easily just take apart. You didn't really change much to it. You just put the, like, Lego pieces. You always undo it. And mine, you know, what does that mean? And the sarim, like planks of wood, the shinoi, the hadar lebriyasa, who you could return it back to its initial way. You built some planks, put some nails in, you could remove the nails, and then now they're planks of wood. That's something that can be easily done. So even though it's a shinoi that can be chos lebriyasa, you can debay mishnaflahu, you could just undo them and return them back. That's a chiddush of Mishnah. And when it comes to the tzemer of the Mishnah, the wool of the Mishnah, asa begad, then referring to tzemer tavi, that's already been spun, made into yarn, and the shinoi the hadel briyasahu, the bai saserle, you could always undo the weaving. So that's what the Mishnah is referring to. The kol shekain, and certainly in the case shinoi deraisa, that is a real change that cannot be undone at all. That certainly you get to keep and you pay back the value. Now the Tana Bra, the Braisa from the outside that we brought in, is referring to Shina Deraisa Katani, the Shina Derabanan Lo Katani. They were referring to a case of a Shina Deraisa that is unchangeable, that is not reversible, it's referring to, but they were not referring to something that is reversible. Meaning what? When you shave down wood, you can't reverse that anymore. When you smoothen out the stone, you can't reverse that anymore. So we made the deek in the Mishnah, the deek was incorrect. I mean, the Mishnah is referring to only cases that are kelim you could build together that can be reversed. Not to be medayik, but if you shave down the wood, that you don't get to keep. That's not true. Of course you get to keep it if you shave down the wood. That's much more of a shinoi than the Mishnah building planks of wood together. So that's what the Mishnah is referring to. It's referring to even shinoi derabanans you get to keep. But the Braisa was only focusing on a shinoi deraisa where there's a permanent change. Where you sand it down, where you smoothen out the rock. Those cases which are shinoi deraisa that you certainly get to keep, that was a focus on the braisa. But ain't a hanami, even a shinoi derabanan that's reversible, the braisa would agree that the gazan keeps and he just paid back the value. So there's no machokas here. There's one's talking about shinoi derabanan and the braisa is referring to shinoi deraisa. Rav Ashi Amar Tana Didan, our Mishnah, nami shinoi deraisa katani. No, even our Mishnah is referring to a shinoi change that's on a deraisa level that's irreversible, which is what? Katani asa etim vasan kalim, where you took wood and you made it into kalim, buchni. What's buchani? How do they say this, Rashi? What?
A pestle.
The thing that you like, a grinder. That you grind, aha. Okay. So that, you made it into a buchni, which I guess is irreversible. And the hainu shipan, which is smoothing out. You smooth it out in such a way, you carved out a piece of wood. And temer vasan begadim, you made the wool into begadim. Nimti, how do you define nimti?
Felt,
okay. The hainu shinoi delo hadar. I guess you made the wool into felt, which is irreversible as well. Okay, so these, oh, even our Mishnah is referring to irreversible cases, which is even a shinoi deraisa, and there's no stira with the braisa either. Now, the Gemara mentioned above that libun mi havi shinoi. The Mishnah, rather, the braisa brought up above that said if you took wool and you whitened it, that would be considered a shinoi, and the gazan gets to keep it and only pays the money. So now the Gemara challenges this, v'libun mi have a shinoi, is it whitening really considered a shinoi? We're minhi, we learn in, I think this is the Mishnah says later on, this is a Mishnah that appears, I think, in Mesach Chulin, actually, by Reish Jageis. So the Mishnah says, lo hispik litno lo ad shetzavo pater. So lacha is that you have to take the first shearings in Reish Jageis, the pasuk appears in Parshas, Parsha Shoftim, I believe, that you have to give the first shearings to the Kohanim. It's called Reishis Hageis. It's a pasuk, it's a Mishnah, a perek in Chulin. So the Gemara says, Lo hispik litna lo ad shetzavo. Let's say you forgot to give the shearings to the Kohen and then you decide to dye them. Then you're pater, you're no longer chayv to pay back the money anymore, the shearings. But let's say livna, you whiten them, but you did not dye them, the chayv, then you still have to pay. So you see that libun, whitening, is not a shinoi. I still have to pay the erasure gaze if I only whitened it. But above we said, if the gazan whitened it, it's considered a shinoi and he gets to keep it. So is libun a shinoi, not a shinoi? Amar Baye says, Lokasha, this is not a problem because Har Rabbi Shimon Har Rabban. It's a machlokas tonight. The Sani, the Braisa teaches us that gazzo, you shear the wool. The tavo, you spin the wool and make it into some type of yarn. The argo, then you weave it. Ein mitstarif. That's not mitstarif. What do you mean not mitstarif? So once you get to that point of making it, you weave it, you cannot be mistarif to pay that back to the Kohen of the ratio gaze that needed to be paid. Let's say livna, let's say you whiten it though, but you don't weave it into anything. You don't make it into beggar. You have the wool and you just whiten it. Rabbi Shimon Omer, ain mitzarf. That can't be mitzarf either. Once you widen it, that already changed it. It's a shinoi and cannot be included in the other reishis I gave you. But Chachamim Omer mitzarf, you can be. Widening is not considered a shinoi. It's still considered in the initial form, and you can lump it together with the other reishis I gave you. So the machlokes is between Rabbi Shimon and Chachamim whether libun is considered a shinoi or not a shinoi. That's the so there's a machlokes. It's a, just a rather it's not a stira. It's a machlokes tonight between Rabbi Shimon and Chachamim. Rav Amar, Havahar Rabbi Shimon. No, both authors are Rabbi Shimon. So this is steer within Rabbi Shimon. But lo kasha, it's not a problem. Had nafte nefute had disarki suke. One is where the different types of combings, the way you have the wool, obviously gets very, very dirty. You have to comb it out and remove all the pieces that are inside. So how do they define nefute and sarke here?
Comb the wool.
But they're both combing. Different types of combing. I don't know the different stages of them. But one's a, I guess...
Disentangling.
So okay, you separate them, and one's combing. So which one's a greater shinoi then? Then say, okay. I don't know the metzias here. Rashi says, niftei is biyad. You use your hand, you stroke your fingers through it, to disentangle them probably. It's not such a real shinoi with your fingers, of course. But using a comb is more of a shinoi. So that's the difference. So if it was used with a comb, and then you whitened it, so then that would be a shinoi. You get to keep it. If it was your hand only and then whitened, that would not be considered a shinoi. Rabbi Chiyar bar Abba Amar had the chavri chavurei had the kabre kabrui. Depends how you whitened it. So if you just simply whiten, I don't know the different ways to whiten it. How do they say?
One is washing. The other one is sulfurizing.
Bleaching. Okay. So bleaching, which is much more serious of a change, so that's going to be a shinoi. Simply washing it is removing dirt. It's not really creating anything white, just removing the dirt. That's going to be not a shinoi. Now the Gemara says, "Hashta yeshlamar tseva l'Rav Shimon lo havi shinoi libun havi shinoi." Wait a second. We're about to prove now that Rav Shimon holds that dyeing is not considered a shinoi. So how could dyeing not be a shinoi, but whitening is a shinoi? The sign of the Raita tells us that gozas rishon betavo. You cut off some wool and you tavo, then you dye it. Rishon v'tavo, then you cut off more, then you spin it. Rishon v'argo, then you weave it. Ain mitzarif. It doesn't mitzarif. So then, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Omer, Mishim Rabbi Shimon tavo mitzarif. He says if you dye it, it actually does collect together. So here Rabbi Shimon says tavo, dyeing it, is still considered an initial form. But we just said above that Rabbi Shimon holds that libun is considered a change. That's a big stira. Certainly tavo, dyeing, is more of a change than libun. So Amar Bai explains Lokasha. This too isn't a problem because Harabanan Aliba der Bishimon, Harabishimon Behuda Aliba der Bishimon. It's about Chlokas Tanaim, what Rishimon's opinion was. So if Rabbi Shimon holds Libun to Shinoi, then certainly he would hold Tzavo as a Shinoi as well. And the one who holds Tzavo is not a Shinoi, he would hold Libun not a Shinoi either. It would be consistent. The two different Bais that seem to argue on each other are two different opinions what Rabbi Shimon actually held. But he, whoever, whichever way you would held, you have to be consistent, Bain Libun, Bain Tzavo. I think Gemara says Rava Amar Liolam Lapligi Rabbanan Aleder Bishimon. Really, Ben Yehuda, there really is no machlokas. The shiny teva is different. Dying is different. Hoyel v'yochel haviro aydei tzfon. You can use tzfon, where they find tzfon as some type of soap,
detergent. Right?
Some type of detergent or soap. You could use it to remove the dye, as opposed to white. Once something's white, you can't remove the whiteness of it. It'll be bleached. It's bleached forever. So even though it sounds like there's more of a change when you dye something versus whitening it, the truth is whitening is more permanent than dyeing something. The Chikatani Hasam, when it's written over there, Lo Hispik Litno, Lo Ad Shitzavo Pater, if you don't give the rachis a gaze and you end up dyeing it, dyeing isn't a change, you go always remove it. Vokimna Kedivere Kol, the Kali Ilan de Lo Avar. It's referring to a particular dye, the Kali Ilan, which the Gemara Menachos tells us, which was the same color as the Tcheles. People would use it to make fake Tcheles and sell them. That's why you have to trust who the sellers are, whether it's real Tcheles, but it's something that's permanent dye. That's the type of dye that can't be removed. That's where, if you do that, it's pati, you don't have to pay. It's not mitzarif as part of the reisha gaze. But any other dye that can be removed through detergent, so then that's not considered shinoi and would be considered part of the reisha gaze. Okay, I think we should stop here. His next piece of Gemara goes well into the next stuff. So we'll pick up tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem. Okay.